Luke chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1 down to verse number 20. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, out of the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this great event in history, Lord, where you sent your Son down to this earth. And we just thank you for that. And we just pray you bless today as we consider this great gift that you gave, that we would appreciate it all the more. And we would be like the shepherds to make it known abroad. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's only a few days away for Christmas. And of course, kids are all very excited. They keep reminding us how many days are left until Christmas. And it's, of course, a big thing that they're looking forward to is the gifts. They want to see what's under the tree, what's under all that wrapping, what's been hidden in the closet for a while, and that they'll finally get to enjoy. And it's kind of the thing that as we get older, we don't do we don't do just the receiving. We start to do a lot of the giving ourselves, and so we're trying to find the gifts for different people. Sometimes the gift-giving part of it can be a stressful time, especially if we wait until this week to get started on the gift-giving, or gift-buying anyways. But we do realize is that when we're trying to get gifts for people, we're not just giving them the first thing we see on the rack in the store, right? We want to give them something that they'll appreciate, something that they'll cherish, that they'll hold on to, and as they look at it, they were reminded of you, and it'll be a sign of your love to them. And I think there's sometimes where we see that, where we'll go through a store and maybe the person at the register will ask, well, can I help you with something? What are you looking for? I said, well, I'm not sure what I'm looking for, but I know when I see it, I'll know that it's what I want for that person. And that's always a good thing, where you get something, you know, yes, this is something that will be meaningful to them. But that can be a challenge because we realize is that as kids and even as adults, we can sometimes be fickle. We can think that we know what we want, but that can change. That you can have a child who maybe has heard the hype or seen these ads for these different toys that they think, oh, wow, this will be so good if I get it. And then they get it and they're like, oh, this wasn't nearly as impressive as the ad made it out to be. And I'm not really that interested, right? But even sometimes as we're adults, that we can change our desires, that we might think, oh, this is something that person would want, but then here they've changed hobbies completely and they're not doing that anymore. And so It's a thing that we can change, and that makes it difficult. But as well, there's some things that we both want, either as kids or as adults, that aren't necessarily good for us, right? That kids would be happy with a stocking full of candy, but we know they don't need that, right? And unless we, as parents, want to spend a whole bunch of extra money at the dentist. But even as adults, there's some things we want that we realize aren't necessarily good for us. But most often the gifts that we give are based upon our wants or even our whims. It's not generally we give during Christmas for necessities. Sometimes people might give practical gifts they know a person will use. And I think as a child, usually we're not that interested in the practical gifts. We don't want socks and sweaters. We want toys and candy, right? But as we grow older, we do learn to appreciate them more. But in our society today, we generally live in affluence, and so we have all our needs met, and so a lot of what we desire are things that we don't really need. But imagine the difference, though, if just kind of consider a picture, a family this Christmas that was in very desperate need, that say the father was laid off from work, bills were mounting, they're trying and failing to make ends meet, that they're struggling financially, that there's not really any money for gifts, there's not even really any money for groceries. The mortgage is due, and they're in deep debt. And so if you were to go to that person and think of them, and you were to come and to their door and knock on the door and give them like a box of chocolates or give the father a new tie, we might think that would be a nice gesture, but to them it would in many ways be an empty gesture because, okay, this was something, but it isn't what I actually need. And so it's because if we have real needs, our wants don't really matter. And it's, I think, a perspective that we've lost being in an affluent society, and maybe a perspective we need to regain. But imagine such an individual in such deep debt, financial difficulty. If they get a knock on the door and they go to open it and there's no one there, there's just a small package with a note on it, and they pick it up and they look and it says, "Well, I heard you'd fallen on hard times. I just want to help. Merry Christmas." And they open the package, and inside are thousands of dollars in cash, enough to pay not just the mortgage for the month, but to pay off the mortgage, enough to pay all the debts, enough to buy groceries, to buy Christmas dinner with all the fixing, plus pack the fridge and the freezer. What do we think would be the response of that man to that gift? That most likely he would just, on his front step, he would break down and weep, that he would pay all the bills, have a great Christmas with his family, but he'd probably make it his life's goal to figure out who it was that gave him that gift. And so he could thank him personally. And you could be sure that that person would be, he would be a friend of that person for life, be willing to do anything for them because they did something great for them, that they met a need that they had that they couldn't meet themselves. And so we understand that we appreciate a gift when it's something that we really wanted, but we appreciate it so much more when it's something that we really needed. And the Christmas story is all about God giving a gift to us, the greatest gift that has ever been given, the greatest gift that could ever be given. We think of what it says in Isaiah 9:6, which is, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." That we think about it. Some people, when they give very expensive gifts, they purposely leave the price tag on, and so they can show how expensive the gift is, and almost the thought is the costliness of this gift demonstrates how great I must love you, right? But if we go by that gauge, then we would recognize that God's love for us must be unfathomable, because the gift that he gave cost him his very own son. And he gave to humanity the gift of his son. He gave to us a savior. And this was something so wonderful for us that it was definitely worth having an angel announce it. And even though it was in the middle of the night, word needed to get around and people needed to hear the news. And that's what we see in this passage, where these shepherds were watching over their flock, and the darkness of the evening suddenly changed into great light. And they're obviously very afraid, not sure what's going on. But the angel says, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That they had this news that that this was great good tidings of great joy, which should be to all people, that everyone needed to hear, and these shepherds had the honor of being the first to hear. And they told them what was happening. They told, okay, there's a child born in Bethlehem. This is where you'll find it. So you'll know that this is the child. And so they heard this and they wanted to find out for themselves. And so they ran and they went looking and they found the child. And verse 17, when they'd see it, they made known abroad the saying which is told them concerning this child. That they wanted everyone else to know about it because of this great thing. That as the angels had said, they found it and this is the Savior that God had given to them. And we see in verse 18, I think of all the verses in the Christmas story, this is maybe one of the saddest ones. It says, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." And it's a sad thing because these people heard the great news, they wondered about it, but they didn't go and see for themselves. That was really a shame, that they could have been rejoicing and seeing as the shepherds, glorifying and praising God for the things that they'd heard and seen. But instead, they just kind of wondered and they went back to what they were doing before. And we realize that part of the Christmas story is a part that repeats itself over and over again. A lot of people hear about Jesus. They might wonder a bit about the Christmas story, but they don't go and see for themselves. They don't take that opportunity and they miss out. And it's something that really we wonder, why would that be? And it's something even as Christians we realize sometimes we can lose sight of the significance of Christ coming to earth. We can get caught up in all the busyness of the Christmas season. But we want to appreciate it anew, and we want to really kind of understand how great a thing is that happened to us. But we want to ask that question, why is it that so many don't appreciate the gift of a Savior that God has given to this world? And would we ask, was there something wrong with the gift? And to that we would answer, no. There's nothing wrong with the gift, that no greater gift could be given than the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth, to be a Savior for us all. But the problem is, we recognize that so many are either unable or unwilling to see the greatness of their need of a Savior. That in our society today, that many we have a great affluence that would be unheard of to generations past. That we, even though the economy is down right now, that still compared to generations that have come before, we still are in a position of affluence and prosperity. And many times that when things are going good, we can have that thought that, well, I am rich, I am increased with good, I don't really have any real needs. But spiritually speaking, we want to understand that all of us are needy. That spiritually, we are in a place, without Christ, we are in a place of destitution, we're in a place of spiritual bankruptcy, and a collections agency is on their way. And we want to understand from the scriptures what has brought us to this place of spiritual ruin. We understand that it is sin. It is doing what is wrong and evil against God, against our fellow human beings. And a lot of times when we do wrong and nobody finds out, we sometimes think that we've gotten away with it, but we never do. That every time we do wrong, there is a debt that needs to be paid. And each time we do wrong, our debt accumulates. Speaks of in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And so every time we sin, we add to that debt. All of us do. And very quickly, we all dig ourselves into a very deep hole. And even if we had great riches of this world, no money we could ever pay could cancel out our sin debt. Many of us may try to do good to pay off our debts. We kind of think, well, if my good works outweigh my bad works, then I'll be able to pay this debt. I'll be able to go to heaven. But we realize that doesn't work. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, it says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That even our best efforts, they don't actually pay down the debt, they actually add to it. And so we are in desperate straits spiritually. Our payment is due, that we stand to lose everything of true value, including our lives, including our own eternal souls, because of this debt of sin. And we want to understand that in that moment of the world's deepest desperation, that God knocks on the door. And he says, I know your situation. I know how deep the debts are that you owe, and I am willing to pay them all in full. Every rotten thing we've ever done, he's willing to take the punishment for that, so that we can be free. And that's what he did at Calvary, that he paid it all. He was a propitiation for the sins of the whole world. He atoned for all of us. And we recognize now that for each person that God knocks on the door of their heart and he offers his salvation to them. He offers to be their personal savior. And as they put their trust in him, their sins can be forgiven. Their debt can be paid in full. Their life can do a complete 180 degree turn from despair to hope, from sorrow to joy, from bondage to freedom, and from hurt to healing. And the response each person on this earth should have is to eagerly and gratefully embrace Christ as their Savior, to rejoice in his great love and kindness to them, and dedicate their lives in friendship to the one who would do so much for them. But instead, what do we see? That so many reject Jesus as their Savior. They won't accept the gift he's offering. They refuse to even open the door. And we ask ourselves why. And we realize that they're blind to their need. Either they can't see it or they refuse to do so. They don't see the desperate strait they're in. Perhaps in their pride they insist that they can still pay off their sin debt. That there is a blindness to their real need. A blindness that we see scripturally is brought on by the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it says, or verse 3 and 4 rather, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Many people today are blinded by material prosperity that they enjoy. They don't, because they have financial abundance, they don't see their deep spiritual need. That for them, if they were just asking God to give them a gift, it would be much more based on their wants rather than their real needs. That many are in a place of prosperity, and what would their desire be to God? Well, just to make them even more prosperous. That they think, well, if I have more, that then I'll be happy. And so that's what they hope for. All would desire to be richer than they are now, and many don't want to make any kind of personal changes. They really want God to bless and rubber stamp everything that they're doing in life, not recognizing that they're on a path of self-destruction that God is seeking to deliver them from. And so what we all need is a Savior to save us from our sins, to save us from ourselves. And in sending his son as a babe to the manger of Bethlehem, having his son Jesus come and live a sinless life on this earth and then give his life as a sinless sacrifice atoned for the sins of the whole world, that we see that God, in doing that, showed his great love for us. That he could give us all what we wanted. God could be this cosmic Santa Claus that we just make a list and he just fulfills that. But we think about it. If he neglected our greatest need, whatever blessings he could give materially would be empty gestures. And we realize so much of what we want as humans is not good for us. More stuff doesn't necessarily make us better people. Often it tends to go the other way, that it tends to make us more materialistic, tends to make us more proud and more selfish and more self-absorbed. And the thing is that if we don't understand our great need, we're not going to appreciate the gift that he gives. Not because there's anything wrong with the gift, because we're not seeing things as they really are. That God wants to supply all our needs, and he has taken steps to meet our greatest needs first. You could compare it this way, kind of in our thinking, that we need immediate life-saving surgery to be performed. And instead, we don't understand what our problem is. We say, well, no, I just want to have a manicure. I don't need this. I just need this thing that's superficial. And so we really want to understand that God sees us as we are, even if we're not willing to. He sees our great need. He wants to help us. And we need to be saved from our sins. We need to be saved from ourselves. And there's many today that don't understand. And it's not necessarily that they can't see. Sometimes it is a spiritual blindness that they have. But it's why we who have received the truth, that we need to share it with others. We need to be like the shepherds. And I really, you kind of think about it, when you consider of all the people that God could have sent the angel to make the announcement, why would he have gone to the shepherds? You kind of think, well, they have things to do. They have all these sheep to look after. It's like maybe he could find someone that's not that busy that could come, right? And they could do that job. But we find with the shepherds that even though they were maybe uncouth, they weren't necessarily the most skilled at things. They had kind of their job to do, and yet we see that when they heard, they went right away. And when they saw it, they went and told everybody. And we think of those others that they told, that they wondered, but they didn't actually come and see for themselves. That the shepherds did their job. And that's probably why, more than anything, is God sent his angels to them, because he knew that's what their response would be. And so we kind of think of that in our way, that God is, we have heard, we have responded, we have accepted the great gift because we saw our great need. And so we need to be like the shepherds, where we want to get out and we want to tell everybody, because they need to know, because they need a Savior just as much as anyone else. They could be a church-going person all their life, but if they haven't come to Christ as their Savior, it's not going to count. That they need to come through him. That only we all have to go through the same way of salvation. That we're all sinners. We all need him to save us. And we all need to trust in him in order to be saved. And so that is our task. That we need to turn people from darkness to light. We need to help them to see their need. That just a few verses down in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, after speaking of the gospel being hid to those that are lost, that have been blinded, it says in verse 6, "For God who commanded a light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so that's the thing, is that so much we think that we were in great spiritual darkness and God sent his light. And we who have received his light now have that light within us. And we're to let that shine so people can come out of the darkness into the light of life as well. That we need to be like the shepherds, and in many ways we need to share that message that the angel gave so long ago. That we think of how he started off with the words, "Fear not." That there's so many people nowadays that are crippled by anxiety and worry and fear of everything that's happening in this world. And sometimes we could even say rightly so, based on all the craziness that's going on. But the thing is that we don't need to live in fear. And that there's a reason that we have good tidings of great joy. That there's a lot of bad news in this world, but we have some good news that people want to hear, people need to hear. And it's hope. In a world full of despair, that it's light in a world full of darkness, that we want to share this good news. And it is to all people. It's not just for a certain race or a certain group. It isn't just for the Jews. It's also for the Gentiles. It's for rich or poor, young or old, any background, any nationality. whatever our life is, that it's for all of us. And a Savior is born unto us, and He is Christ the Lord. He's the only Savior this world will ever know. And people need to come to Him. And the gift of a Savior is not necessarily the gift that much of this world would ask for. Not because they don't need a Savior, but because they're blinded to their need. But yet once they understand, once they see for themselves their true spiritual need, they will thankfully and enthusiastically embrace it. And so Jesus was not the gift this world wanted, but we recognize that He was the gift that we all needed. A gift that all of us need to receive by faith. And as we've received that gift, may we share it with others so that they too can experience the joy of His salvation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for sending us Your Son, Lord, and we just pray You would help us, even though many of us here have received this gift, that we would appreciate it anew, that we just realize that how desperate our straits were, that we were in, and yet You came and You knocked on the door and You said that You would pay our debts so that we could be free and have a home in heaven with You forever. And Lord, we just pray You'd help us to just meditate on this and just live in gratitude for what You have done. And Lord, help us to be as a shepherd that we'd share with others. We'd make it known abroad, let them know that there's a God that loves them just as much as He loves us and wants to help them and deliver them from their sin and from themselves. We just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.